The COVID-19 crisis has added a lot of stress to our lives, and that's a threat to our mental health. Side Effects Public Media's Carter Barrett reports on the potential impact and some coping strategies.
Austin Archer is 32 years old and lives in an Indianapolis suburb. Through the COVID-19 crisis, he's been working at a grocery store. Otherwise, he and his family have been focused on social distancing.
Going through isolation and social distancing, it's had a pretty, I would say, profound effect on my ability to stay positive and to keep myself motivated to do things during the day.
Archer says he suffered bouts of severe depression before. He reached out to Side Effects because he wanted to know if social isolation might intensify anxiety and depression.
After a while, I think on anyone, not just people with depression, I'd say, it hits you that things are different, and then this sinking feeling hits that you don't know when things are potentially going to go back to normal.
Across the country, calls to helplines have spiked. The Disaster Distress Helpline, operated by the federal government, saw an 880% increase in calls and a 1,000% increase in texts. The dangers of isolation are well documented. For the elderly, it can contribute to the onset of dementia. Research shows it can cause problems for younger adults, too.
We now have robust evidence that social isolation and loneliness are independent risk factors for premature mortality. And social connection is a significant protective factor.
Julianne Holt-Lunstead, a researcher at Brigham Young University, spoke this spring to a group of reporters about her research. She found that social isolation contributed to high blood pressure, stress hormones, and chronic illnesses, and ultimately a 29% increase in mortality. She was studying long-term isolation, even for years. Back in Indianapolis, Shelley Johns is a clinical therapist and researcher with IU Health in the Regenstrief Institute. She says many of her patients have been feeling more anxious lately.
I think it's just compounded right now because not only do we have the chronic stress and the uncertainty and the not knowing and the, you know, the economic impact of all of this, you know, not feeling, you know, safe physically, you know, and medically.
John says there are a number of coping strategies. She suggested exercise, music, and connecting with loved ones digitally. She says mindfulness, a way to be more in the moment, is also a useful tool.
And when our mind is in the future, we are more prone to anxiety. When our mind is kind of hooked into, you know, thoughts of the past, you know, we're more likely to have feelings of regret or sadness or longing.
Holt-Lunstead also has another suggestion.
So one potential option is to shift our mindset. Instead of interpreting the situation as being cut off from others, we can focus on doing this to protect those that we love.
John says the long-term impact of COVID-19 on mental health is unknown, but she worries it could be severe. In most places, especially in the Midwest, there are not enough mental health professionals to meet demand. And many people have trouble finding help.
Do we have the capacity to deal with the emotional impact of all of this? And I am concerned about that.
Some 50 major health groups recently wrote Congress for help. They said an additional $45 billion should be spent on mental health care during this crisis. That includes money to create more mental health jobs, bolster Medicaid, and support suicide hotlines. They also noted that rising unemployment in past economic downturns led to increased suicide and addiction rates. That could mean 58,000 more deaths a year. For Side Effects Public Media, I'm Carter Barrett.
People in need can call a suicide hotline number at the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK to reach a trained counselor. The story was produced in partnership with America Amplified.